The Haynes Borough Assembly postpones a decision on harbor fees and upholds a nuisance abatement order. And a protest halts development of a British Columbia mine in the Taku River tributary. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Haynes is getting ready for an influx of thousands of visitors this weekend for one of the town's largest events, the Southeast Alaska State Fair. The borough is opening up overflow camping in Clinkett Park, the parade grounds, and the Port Chilkoot Dock Beach. Borough employees are also installing extra garbage cans around town and outdoor sinks and showers for campers. Borough Tourism Director Leslie Ross says public restrooms at the Visitor Center and PC Dock are kept open for campers and extra cleaning is planned to maintain them throughout the weekend. She says the Tourism Department is running a free shuttle from the ferry to the Visitor Center and Fort Seward for every Juneau arrival and for return trips out of Haynes on Saturday and Sunday. Haynes Interim Police Chief Bob Griffiths says a state trooper from Juneau is coming to Haynes to help out local officers during the fair.
That will bolster our force, although we're not anticipating any problems at all. Typically, the fairgoers are family-oriented and have a good time and don't cause too many problems in town. So other than having extra presence in the area, we don't anticipate any special requirements or needs for enforcement actions in town.
Griffith says there will be a total of 6 officers helping out with enforcement through the weekend. The 47th annual fair begins Thursday and wraps up Sunday. The Haynes Borough Assembly opted Tuesday to postpone approving a hike in harbor fees. That's because some assembly members wanted more information about how much revenue the increased fees would bring into the borough. The assembly also upheld a nuisance abatement order for unlawful trash accumulation at the Eagle Nest Trailer Park, but they decided the problem was now fixed. The order was directed at the park's owners, who appealed the decision. At the last assembly meeting, members postponed a decision on the nuisance order to give the mobile home owners more time. At Tuesday's meeting, assembly members felt the trash had been cleaned up enough, but they were still required to take official action on the matter. Assemblyman Mike Case.
It has been cleaned up. It's not perfect, but it's been cleaned up. I think the question before us is, when there's been a notice of abatement and it wasn't followed, and then therefore some sort of a fine was assessed, do we allow a second notice of abatement?
Case made a motion to reject the original abatement order issued by Borough Manager Dave Sosa. Assemblymember Diana Lapham disagreed.
We're talking about code here, and we're talking about upholding code. And at the time that the manager made his recommendation, this was in violation of code.
The final vote carried 4-1 to uphold the order, with George Campbell opposed. However, all of the members agreed that the property owners should not be required to pay a fine. The confusion over process and abatement orders connected to the assembly's conversation about a proposed minor offenses ordinance. The ordinance compiles minor infractions already existing in borough code and streamlines the enforcement and appeals process for them. But the 14-page list of offenses and fees has alarmed some residents and officials. Because of that, the Assembly's Government Affairs and Services Committee recently voted to comb through the offenses list and cut out unnecessary regulations. Some Assembly members at Tuesday's meeting pointed out that if the ordinance was adopted, the Eagle's Nest nuisance appeal wouldn't have come before the Assembly. It would have gone to the municipal court. The discussion around the ordinance resulted in a decision by the Assembly to postpone an August 4th GAS committee meeting to start sorting through the minor offenses ordinance. Another date for the meeting has not been set. Tuesday's assembly meeting was plagued with technical issues that slowed down proceedings. Assemblyman Campbell joined the meeting by speakerphone, and he was frequently unable to hear the discussion. Assemblyman Case requested the borough purchase new speakerphone equipment at the end of the meeting, and Borough Clerk Julie Causey assured him that she had already placed the order. Developers of a mine on the Taku River tributary have stopped work after an on-site protest by a British Columbia tribal government. The Taku enters the ocean near Juneau. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Hat gold and copper mining prospect is near the Chesley River, a little more than 100 miles east of Alaska's capital city. The Chesley feeds into the Taku, a salmon-rich river used by commercial sports and subsistence fishermen on both sides of the border. Vancouver-based Double View Capital Corporation has conducted exploratory drilling at the site for about 2 years. This summer, it ran into opposition.
It's just a very important place to our people.
Chad Day is president of the Tahltan Central Council, which represents about 1,800 people in or from northwest British Columbia. He says Tahltans have lived in the Chesley area, and some are buried there. He says it's also an important place for hunting and fishing.
That's why we're taking the position that we won't be supporting any kind of exploration or mining activities in that area now or into the future.
Day and a group of Tahltan elders visited Double View's Hat Prospect drilling site earlier this summer. They spoke to workers, including tribal members, as well as company officials, about their objections.
Thereafter, the president and CEO made a commitment that the Tahltan workers would pack up and leave, and that the camp would be demobilized, and that he would aim to work with us more moving forward.
Double View officials did not immediately respond to interview requests, but a company press release acknowledges the meeting as well as the shutdown, which it calls temporary. In the release, CEO Farshad Shirvani says, quote, "Our aim is to resume drilling as quickly as possible. We are consulting with our legal counsel to determine the best steps to take to allow drilling to resume." Plans for the mine, plus at least two others in the Chesley area, have caught the attention of critics downstream.
The mines themselves create the usual worries of acid mine drainage into a major and very productive Taku tributary.
Chris Zimmer of Rivers Without Borders says that could damage the river's fisheries, especially sockeye salmon, which spawn and hatch in the area. He also points to plans to reopen an old access road.
It's this issue of the road becoming a can opener for the region and leading to very aggressive, fast-paced development in an area that's very critical for salmon habitat and First Nations traditional hunting and fishing as well.
The Tahltans are not the only tribal group with claims to the area. The Taku River Tlingit First Nation has an extensive land use plan negotiated with the provincial government. It includes the Chesley River and Valley. The plan shows at least part of the area open to some development. Taku River Tlingit leaders could not be immediately reached for comment. The British Columbia Ministry of Mines issued Double View an exploration permit about 3 years ago. The agency says that came after consulting with the Tahltan and Taku First Nations. Tahltan Central Council President Chad Day says that's not the case. He says Tahltan leaders are not opposed to all resource development. They negotiated an agreement this year with Imperial Metals' Red Chris Mine in the Stikine River watershed.
It's a controversial project for some people, but at the end of the day, we put all the terms past the Tahltan Nation, and 87% of the nation supported the Red Chris co-management agreement.
The mine began full production recently. Day says Tahltans are working at the mine site. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.